hear the word of Jesus Christ out of Revelation 12 from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I remind you that we are presently in a vision which summarizes for us the things that have gone before and some things that were also to come. That is to say, it is contemporary with the vision of the trumpets, which and even the seal before that. So we have, in weeks prior, we have seen how these things are describing for us the state of the church under the persecutions of heathen Rome, and then later on the rise of the Antichrist. And this is what we see right here. First, we are seeing a depiction of the devil persecuting the church. And he's persecuting the church directly. In ancient Rome, even in all nations, really, they were worshiping Satan directly in their temples. They were consulting with the devil. The gods of the heathens are devils. The things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice unto devils. The devil was there in Rome. He was Mars and Ares and Zeus and all these gods that they served. And he would use the Roman Empire directly to persecute the church. And this is what we have seen thus far. And so as we come to verse 7, we see that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Here, we understand heaven not to be heaven above our eternal home, but rather to be the church militant on earth. And if you're confused by that, I encourage you to look through the scriptures and see how indeed we are described as heaven, the church. Hebrews chapter 12, we have come unto that heavenly Jerusalem. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. My friends, there is no war in heaven. Properly speaking, do you think that Satan can assault the Most High God and his blessed saints as they are enjoying their rest? No, that cannot be. But rather, this is a description of the church and the warfare that is going on between the church and Satan. Indeed, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We wrestle against Satan himself. And here we see Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who is this Michael? Well, I tell you that this Michael is no created angel, but rather this is a name for Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the angel of the covenant. Michael, or one who is like unto God, one who is the express image of the Father. This is what this name means. And you can confirm this if you go into the book of Jude, where you have a summary of what happens in Zechariah chapter 3. And it says that Michael, the archangel, said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee." But when you go to what it says in Zechariah, what do you read? It says, "The Lord said, the Lord rebuke thee." So first of all, you see a distinction there in Zechariah between the Father and the Son. Jehovah the Son said, "Jehovah the Father rebukes you, Satan." But then when Jude describes the situation, he calls that Jehovah the Son, Michael. We see this also in Daniel. If you're confused by that, ask me later, and we can discuss that, but we must move on. So we see Christ, he is the captain of the Lord of hosts, fighting against the angels, and fighting against the devil and his angels, which is not only to be understood of his demons, his devils, but also all of his agents, all of his ministers in the earth, the Roman emperors, the Roman priests, and the oracles, all these demonic forces which were at work that he was using to make war against the church, that there was so much blood shed. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent and the devil, he was cast out. He deceived the whole world, indeed the whole world, except for this little tiny nation of Israel that worshiped the true God, was worshiping Satan. Think about the darkness that was upon the earth at this time. Every single nation was worshiping Satan through their idols indeed, but there was a real spiritual darkness going on there. Today, the history of these things are just, it's cute mythology, but I don't see it that way. I don't look at the Iliad as just stories, but I do think that there was a demonic revelation going on there. I don't look at the Oracle of Delphi as simply being a mythology, but I do believe that Satan was consulting with them in these places. The devil was deceiving the whole earth. But you see, when Jesus Christ came, it said that he would, in Isaiah 2, that he would abolish idolatry. And so we see a great breaking of the idols of the nations, so that this direct power that Satan had was taken away. He still has a power, but he had to change his tactics. He had to go into covert mode. He couldn't simply attack the church from without. He had to go within. And you see the great testimony of these saints that had been persecuted. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You see, they had seen the glory of the Lord. They had seen the cross. They'd come to Christ. And they had been filled with his Holy Spirit, so that they had a courageous faith that even facing the lion's den, facing persecutions, facing fires, facing the Colosseum, all these horrible things, yet they saw what Jesus Christ had done for them, and they held fast to their faith. And they overcome. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, not by their strength, not by their courage, not by their manliness, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And they loved not their life, their lives unto the death. You see, if you are walking entrenched in the love of Jesus Christ, if this gospel is a reality unto you, if you're dead to the world, then only can you be in this place where you can even love not your life unto death. Be willing to hold fast to the word of your testimony, even unto the death. A word of praise. Rejoice, therefore, ye heavens, and all that dwell into them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. And when the devil saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. You see, at first he tried to persecute the man-child, now he's gone to persecute the woman. And we explained this last week, but I want to make a clarification because it may have been confusing, because I explained how we have this woman who is the church, and we saw how Paul says that I'm travailing with great labors to bring forth Christ in you. So you have Christ mystically being brought forth in the church, well, rather in the members of the church. So you have the institutional church bringing forth the individual members of the church, which have Christ formed in them. And so you see the devil going on this great rage. But then the church goes, and she is nourished for a time and times and half a times in the wilderness. This is the same thing that's being described in Revelation chapter 11, when you see the outer court of the temple is being trampled under the foot of the Gentiles. Even the same time frame is given. A time and half a times, coming from Daniel, meaning 3.5 years. Elsewhere described as 1260 days. We can understand this to be representing a day for a year, so about 1260 years. So sometime when this heathen persecution had come to an end in the Roman Empire, where Christianity was legalized and even became the national religion of the empire, there is this relief. And then you see a change of tactic, that the serpent casts out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away with the flood. So now you see, in this period of history, right after the time of persecution, you have a time of great heresy within the church. The Arian heresy, other heresies, attacks from the devil upon the deity of Jesus and the deity of the Holy Spirit, and even the humanity of Christ at times. And there is this great warfare. Now the church is settled, they have peace, but now there's great divisions over doctrine, which were necessary because the truth was under attack. There were men saying that Jesus Christ was but a creature and they had to be fought against. But this flood of heresies came in to threaten the existence of the church, and yet it did not prevail, for the Lord preserved his church. And so you'll see coming on, chapter 13 is a continuation of this same vision, that first you had this time of persecution under the heathen empire, heathen Roman Empire, this time of great heresy after there's a Christian empire, and then you have this coming up, this rise of the Antichrist, where this Roman Empire is headed up by the beast, by the Antichrist, and then he begins his warfare in that mode. In response to this reading of God's word, we will be singing Psalm 91a. Psalm 91.